book of Numbers, chapter 20. You know, this is the double portion, and there's so much to cover, even just in the first Torah portion, Chukat, which I'm going to be speaking on. That's why I'm so glad we have Torah for today, because Torah for today gives us the opportunity to dig into multiple themes and concepts and stories that are going on in the Torah portion. I couldn't possibly cover it all. But I want to start by backing up just a minute. Stay in Numbers 20 for a minute. But I want to talk about some interesting parallels that have been going on the last few weeks in the Torah portions. 2 weeks ago, in portion Shalach Lecha, we had this situation where the children of Israel sent spies into the land. Now remember, this was year two of the wilderness experience. They're sending spies in to check out the land of Canaan. They're on the edge of Canaan, about to go in year two. What happens? The spies come back, and 10 of the 12 spies have a bad report. Now, God had promised over and over and over again that the land was theirs. They just had to go in and take it. The promises that Abraham was given centuries before that would have been passed down, they would have been hearing these wonderful stories and promises. They would have had this ingrained in their minds for generation after generation. It would be part of their culture. So for them to then just forget all the promises, forget everything that God said because of this report of the spies, it sounds crazy to us, but it actually happened. They said things like, there's giants in the land. We can't defeat them. What are we going to do? Why did God do this to us? How could he bring us here right to the edge of the promised land and not give us the promises? They forgot all about what God had said to them. What they did was they looked at their circumstances and they were afraid. And instead of trusting and believing in the Lord, they believed in the bad report. And this is the thing. They didn't trust God. And what was the result of that unbelief? They couldn't go into the promised land. That first generation couldn't go in. And they started dying out in the wilderness. Now, what's interesting about Numbers chapter 20 is when we start Numbers chapter 20, we fast forward in time 38 years. And we're now in year 40. They have been wandering around the desert for 38 plus years. And we come to this week's portion, Chukat. And the children of Israel are now here, ready to go into the wilderness, into the promised land, just like they were before, but now it's the second generation. The first generation has died out. And now we come this portion, and what I want to speak about is Numbers 20, which is the story of Moses and the rock. Moses and the rock. And I want you to see the parallels here. What's going on in Numbers 20? Year 40, new generation. And what happens is the people who have had water flowing so they could drink and, of course, eat for 40 years, the water stops flowing right at the beginning of Numbers 20. Miriam dies, the water stops flowing like it had for 40 years. What happens? The people grumble and complain. That sounds like a familiar thing, right? The people are grumbling and complaining. God tells Moses to do what? Speak to the rock to get water for the people. And what does Moses do? He strikes the rock. He strikes the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And because he strikes the rock, the children of Israel cannot go in, or Moses cannot go into the promised land. So remember, the first generation, because of their unbelief, listening to the report of the spies, they can't go into the land. Moses now, because he strikes the rock, can't go into the land. This portion, this chapter, has completely baffled commentators and scholars. The Jewish sages, all the great ones, Rashi, Rambam, they all have different opinions about why Moses can't get into the land. They all argue, which is not uncommon, right? Arguing about, well, why? What's the reason? Why can't Moses, the same Moses that is considered to be the greatest prophet in Judaism, that has done so much, that has stopped God from smiting the children of Israel so many times, keeping them on track, how he could do one little thing and endure so much, to do one little thing wrong, and then he can't go into the land. What's going on? This seems so unfair. But here's the thing. Just as in the story of the spies, Moses looked at his circumstances. Moses looked at his frustration, his anger, the problems, the grumbling and the complaining, everything that was going on. And just like the children of Israel, he forgot about the promises of God. He forgot about God's faithfulness. He forgot everything that he needed to remember in those moments, and he lost faith. He didn't believe in God. And because of that, he couldn't go into the promised land. And here's the proof text, Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Let's go to our first scripture of the day. This clearly tells us, Numbers 20, 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. So there it is right there. Moses didn't believe. In that moment, he lost faith. In that moment, he forgot about the promises of God. He didn't believe God. He didn't show God as holy. But here's the thing. With the spies and the children of Israel, with Moses and the rock, in both of these situations, there was real circumstances. They weren't fake circumstances. They were real. The problems were real. Fear, anger, frustration, confusion was going on. But instead of trusting God in those situations, instead of believing his word and remembering his promises, all of them forgot. They disobeyed God's word. They didn't rely on his promises. They also took that focus off of God and put it on themselves. We're going to look at that today. And they actually worked against God and his purposes, and that was times of unbelief. Because of that, they missed out on what God had for them, which was going into the promised land, both Moses and the children of Israel. Now, look at where we are in our world today. Look at what's going on today. We have very real circumstances. We have very real giants, so to speak, spiritually out these doors. Things are crazy today. We have this global pandemic, which we thought was kind of started going away, but then all these new cases are happening. There's panic going on. It's the gift that keeps on giving, right? It just won't go away. And besides that, we have a situation more than ever where people are looking for truth. People are searching for truth. You see it. But they're finding truth, or they're looking for truth in all the wrong places, aren't they? We have godlessness that's not only tolerated, but encouraged in our society now. It's even encouraged. And it seems like everything is turned on its head. So the spies, Moses, the children of Israel, getting caught up in their problems, we have to be careful to not let our problems, our circumstances of today's world, 2020, distract us, steal our joy, take our focus off the Lord, or even make us lose faith. Now here's the real reality. The real reality of it all, back then and now, is there is a battle going on. There is a spiritual battle going on. And we're not fighting against the pandemic, and we're not fighting against people. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and it really is against the devil, against the enemy. And I said this last night, and I'm going to say it again. I'm not one of these people that always says, well, the devil made me do it, and it's all the devil's fault, and taking all this responsibility off of ourselves and putting it on somebody else or something else. But when you really come down to it, who's the instigator beyond about all the sin in the world? Who's the one that is pulling the strings, the puppeteer about all this? Ultimately, it is the enemy. Scripture teaches us that. So we have to recognize that that is real. We have to recognize that the enemy wants to keep our focus off of God. He wants to keep our focus on the circumstances and off of God. He wants to distract us, to take us away, to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. That's a scripture. To deceive even the elect, if that were possible, so that we can't accomplish the purposes that God has for us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. There's a lot of scriptures talking about the enemy and the ways that he influences things and pulling the strings behind things. But we're talking today about faith. Having faith in the midst of real bad circumstances around us. Ephesians 6, 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. It's real simple. It's right in black and white on the page, But it's so hard, especially when we get caught up in these circumstances. But the Bible tells us we need to take up the shield of faith. This isn't a New Testament concept. This is a Bible concept. This was back then with the spies. This was with Moses. And this is for us today. It is all about faith. No matter the circumstances you and I are going through, it's all about faith. Okay, so back to Numbers 20. Turn back to Numbers 20 with me. We're going to be going through, really, it's the first 13 verses of Numbers 20 that we're going to be kind of focusing on and diving into today. But remember, it's all about faith. Now let's look at Moses. Numbers 20, verse 8. Go to verse 8. Remember what was happening. The people didn't have water to drink. Water had been flowing for years, flowing from that rock every time they were thirsty, every time they needed water. You cannot live without water. For a very short time, you can live without water, but then you're dead. It's not going to work. Now, not only that, but they were in the middle of a desert. Deserts don't produce water. This was a supernatural producing of water for years and years and years, sustaining them miraculously. But what happened? The water stopped flowing. They didn't have water to drink. They started freaking out. The people started freaking out at Moses and Aaron. Things were very, very tense. And this is what the Lord tells Moses to do. Numbers 20, verse 8. Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So shall you bring water out of the rock for them and give the congregation and their cattle. So speak to the rock. Tell the rock. Numbers 20, verse 11. Go down a couple of verses. Here's what Moses did. Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Now, so Moses clearly did not listen to God. And the side point here is, even sometimes when we're not listening to God and sinning, God does allow things to happen. The water still flowed. The people still had their water. The people were still able to drink. But that's not the point. The point is, Moses, in his distress, Moses, in all of the anguish that he's going through, looked at his circumstances, and he didn't look to God. He didn't listen to God, and he messed up. He sinned. He was clearly distressed. Miriam, his sister, had just died. The people were rebelling again. Remember, there was 38 years of relative calm. The Bible doesn't tell us what was going on, but most likely there wasn't a lot of Korach rebellion going on and spies giving bad reports and, you know, the ground swallowing people up. We don't read about those things. Things had kind of settled down for a long time. And then I can imagine that once the people started grumbling and complaining, you know, it's like that learning, like riding a bike. You never forget how to ride a bike. You may get on the bike 30 or 40 years after and you're like, oh, I kind of remember. Moses, probably, when they started grumbling and complaining again, it was like the PTSD kicking in for Moses, right? It was like, oh, no, and it probably just triggered Moses because there was a lot of grumbling and complaining earlier on. But what happened? He was getting caught up in these circumstances, and this is the first point today, talking about faith, that without faith, when you have a lapse of faith, what do? You disobey God's word. And this is clearly what was going on. That's the first point today. When without faith, we disobey God's word. Now turn with me to Psalm 106, verse 32. We read in other books of the Bible, we read back about what was going on in Moses' mind at this time. We have the Torah, of course. The Torah explains to us. The book of Numbers explains to us. But we have scripture like Psalm 106 that kind of gives us a little bit more of a clue in to Moses' mindset. Psalm 106, 32, 33. They, the people, the children of Israel, angered him, Moses, at the waters of Meribah. Now, Meribah, if you don't know what that word means, it translates as quarreling. They were quarreling with him at the place of quarreling, Meribah. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. So this gives us the clue. Moses was angry, And because he let his anger get the best of him, he strikes the rock and doesn't speak to the rock. He disobeys God's word. Now, remember the battle that we're in. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a spiritual battle. Back then, this is a spiritual battle today. Our circumstances are real, but what's going on really is that the enemy is pulling the strings. The enemy is doing things. Now, there's actually this Ephesians scripture. I'm going to read verses 26 and 27 of Ephesians 4. The first part, 26, is actually a requote from Psalm 4:4. Nothing new under the sun. The Bible constantly parallels itself, constantly talks about itself and gives you those confirmations. Psalm 4:4 says it, and Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Now, I'm reading from the ESV translation, and I really like the translation, though, from the NIV in this case. If anybody's reading the NIV, Ephesians 4:26 says this, "In your anger, do not sin." It's a little bit more clear to me. I like the version there. The first part of Ephesians 4:26, "In your anger, do not sin." The Bible doesn't say, "Don't be angry." That's a really key point here. Because sometimes people think as believers, "Oh, I can't get angry. I can't, you know, show any emotion because that's sinful and that's bad." The Bible doesn't say don't be angry. There is a thing called righteous anger. And we can have righteous anger. Moses had righteous anger, but he let it go too far. He sinned. He disobeyed God because it was uncontrolled anger. It overcame Moses. It got the best of Moses. That is when the scripture says, "In your anger, do not sin." That's what we're talking about here. We can and should get angry about sin in the world. We should get angry about sin in our own lives. We should have righteous anger about this. The world is turning away from God. The world is turning its back on God. We should be upset about that. The love of many has grown cold. This is reality. People are rejecting God. People are rejecting his ways. And one of the saddest things, especially what's going on today in the world, is many in the body of Messiah are getting caught up in all the circumstances. We're getting caught up in all the frenzy, all the crazy. And what are we starting to do? We're starting to disobey God's word. People are pointing to other things in the world and calling it truth. But there's only one truth, and that is the word of God. There's only one who is true, and that is God himself. And no matter what is going on in the world, we can't get caught up in the circumstances. We need to have faith. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the big faith chapter. If you want to read about faith, you go to Hebrews 11. Throughout the whole chapter, whether it's talking about the faith of Abraham or the faith of Moses or the faith of all these characters we read about in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 instructs us on faith. And Hebrews 11:6 says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him," meaning God. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So without faith, without trust in God, we will disobey God's word. We will not follow God. And in that moment, Moses' lack of faith caused him to sin, caused him to disobey God's word. Okay, let's go back to Numbers chapter 20 now. There's more going on here with Moses. He disobeys God. He strikes the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Let's go to verse 10 just for a minute here. Numbers 20, verse 10. Another clue in for Moses and what's going on. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" Moses' anger, Moses' frustration, Moses' circumstances not only had him disobeying God's word, but it had him taking credit for the water coming out of the rock. Did you catch that? Shall we, meaning Moses and Aaron, not God, shall we bring you terrible rebels water from the rock? Moses gave himself and his brother Aaron credit instead of giving God the credit for providing the water, because it was God. We as humans are wired to believe in something and put our focus on something. And in that moment, Moses took the focus off of God and he put it on something else, meaning himself. And that's the second point today, the second slide. Without faith, we put the focus on ourselves. We take the focus off of God and we put the focus on ourselves. Usually, when you take the focus off of God, you end up putting it on yourself. Now, you could be putting it on something else. You know, people put their faith in all sorts of different things in the world. Usually, because people are so narcissistic, it's usually put on them, right? And when you put your focus on yourself, you start thinking it's your own power that can do it. It's your own logic. It's your own decision-making that's going to make the difference. This is what happened to Moses. His own logic. His own striking the rock. He took the focus off of God and he put it on himself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Couldn't be more clear about this point. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust or have faith, same thing, synonymous. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. What was Moses doing? He was leaning on his own understanding at that moment. Without faith, without trusting in the Lord with all our heart, we put that faith, we put that trust elsewhere. Usually it's on us. How do we have faith in God then? Well, we spend time with God. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you don't spend any time with them. We have to spend time with God. The only way to keep our faith strong is to be in the truth, the Word of God. Be reading our word. How much time do we spend on the things of the world versus the things of God? How much time do we spend in the word of God reading about the words of truth versus on social media or taking in TV? Now, I'm not against social media or TV, but there's a balance here. We can't absorb this stuff and not have us take it in. Okay, so are we taking in enough of the word of God? So that we remember the promises of God. We build our faith. We're able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. This is it. Without faith, we rely on our own understanding and we put the focus on ourselves. Okay, one more point. Turn now to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now remember, something else going on with Moses. Remember, there was this rock that provided the water. It was a rock. It was just this supernatural, miraculous thing. How could a rock have water come out of it? Nobody's ever seen that, right? I've never seen that. But the water would pour out of the rock over and over and over again. But it wasn't just any rock. It wasn't just the random rock that was next to them in the desert at that point. Deserts usually don't have rocks. It was the rock. And 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Verse 2, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food. And verse 4, and all drank the same spiritual rock drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. This wasn't any rock. This was the rock of Messiah. The rock that followed the children of Israel in the desert for 40 years. The rock that continued to supply them water, life-giving water, was in fact Messiah, the pre-incarnate Yeshua. Many times Yeshua pops up as the angel of the Lord, like in Genesis chapter 18, when the angel of the Lord and the two other people come to visit Abraham. Well, here, in the wilderness, he came in the form of the rock pre-incarnate, and he supplied the water. He supplied the life-giving water to the children of Israel. This is what Scripture tells us. That rock was Messiah. Now, with that in mind, remember, and it's very important. I'm not going to turn there, but Exodus 17. In Exodus 17, one of the first years of the wilderness experience, there is an instance where the people don't have water. And God tells Moses to strike the rock in Exodus 17, early in the wilderness experience. He tells Moses clearly, strike the rock. Moses strikes the rock and water comes out. And remember, the rock is the Messiah. So what's going on prophetically in Exodus 17 is Yeshua being struck for our sins. The prophet Isaiah tells us that Yeshua, the Messiah, would die for our sins. He would be struck for our sins. He would be pierced for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53. That was what was happening in Exodus 17 when the rock was struck. Now go with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 10. Because it's really important to understand our Bible and understand what God was trying to show the people even back then. Exodus 17, strike the rock. They strike the rock. It's a prophetic picture of Yeshua the Messiah in the future being struck for their sins. And Romans 6:10 says this, for the death that he, meaning the Messiah, died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. The rock, the Messiah, only needed to be struck once. That was the prophetic picture. Yeshua only died once for all sin. But Moses, in his anger, strikes the rock again. Strikes it twice, actually. Again. God's purpose in the Torah was to show us that Messiah has to die once for all time for our sins. Not over and over again. And by striking the rock again, Moses was actually interfering with what God's prophetic picture was for the children of Israel to see. And that's the third point in the third slide. Without faith, we work against God's purposes. When we don't have enough faith, we actually work against God. Moses, in that moment, was working against God's purposes. We are called to work for the kingdom of God, not against. We are called to be in sync with what God is doing. We are called to be used by God as vessels for his plan and his purposes. When Moses struck the rock again, he was going against God's prophetic picture. He was showing God in a wrong light to the people. He was working against the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of God. So just like the story of the spies and the children of Israel, just like that story of Moses and the rock that we've been talking about, you and I are faced with difficult circumstances today. We may not have 2 million grumbling people complaining and grumbling in our ear. We may not have spies giving us a bad report. We may not even have the ground opening up about things. We may not have any of that, but we have real circumstances going on today. There is real illness. There is a real virus out there. There's real problems going on. And we have to remember, in all these circumstances, we can't lose our faith because bad things happen when we lose our faith. We cannot take our heart and our mind and our focus off of God. Are we going to lose our faith in these times of uncertainty and circumstances? Or are we going to increase our faith? The choice is really ours. Are we going to lose our faith or increase our faith? Remember, the battle is real, the enemy is real, and the devil is the father of all lies. He is what's behind what's going on. Last scripture, turn with me to John chapter 10. The words of Yeshua in John chapter 10 are very, very important. We get a picture in John 10:10 about the ultimate agenda of the one who's pulling all the strings with everything going on back then and now. Ultimately, it all traces back to the puppeteer here, the devil, and what he is doing. Yeshua tells us about his ultimate agenda, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, which is the enemy, the devil, the thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy. Yeshua came, that they may have life and have it abundantly. We got a choice. We have a choice between listening to the world and really what's behind all this in the world, what's behind all the sin is the enemy who only wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and Yeshua, who only wants to give us life, abundant life. He wants to pour out. There's scriptures talk about the streams of living water that flow out. Again, that the rock, the water, there's all these parallels to Yeshua. Yeshua gives us life. Just like he gave life-giving water to the children of Israel in the wilderness, he gives life-giving water and breath to you and I today. Amen. To go out there into this crazy world, into these crazy circumstances. So don't get caught up in what's going on. Don't be deceived. Don't lose faith. This is a time to press into God. This is a time to remember his promises. This is a time to increase our faith because it's all about faith. Keep your focus on the Lord. Trust wholly in the Lord and in Yeshua. Do not trust what you can see with your eyes. Do not trust what you feel with your emotions, because our eyes and our emotions will deceive us. But there's one thing that will not deceive us, and that is the Lord, and that is his word, the truth of his word. And if we do these things, if we keep our faith, if we're not deceived in these times, we will get to, spiritually speaking, go into the promised land. Moses couldn't go in. Children of Israel, first generation, couldn't go in. You and I, if we keep that faith, if we keep our focus on God, we will get to go in and we will accomplish the purposes that God has for your life and for my life. It's that simple, because it's all about faith. Let's pray. Lord God, it's all about you. It's all about faith. It's all about your word. And Lord, I pray that in these times of uncertainty, where things are just really scary, Lord, concerning, and things are all over the place, good is being called evil, evil is being called good, no matter what's going on, Lord, we know that we can put our faith and our trust in you. We know we can open up the words of the Bible, and you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Your word will be life-giving water for us. Your word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, there's a lot of darkness out there, but Lord, we ask you to light our path today with the word of God. We ask you to light our path and increase our faith. Help us walk closer to you today, Lord God, so we don't get consumed by the darkness, but we can stand in the light with you. We thank you, God. We ask you, Lord, to just drop the scales from people's eyes, Lord. Open people's eyes to the truth. Open people's eyes to Yeshua at this time. Bring people back, Lord God. Convict people. Bring people to you. Use us, Lord, as your vessels to do that, even in these times. It's a great opportunity to share about you, about your love, about the life-giving water and the eternal life that you give. We thank you, God, and we just pray that you would be with us at this time and increase our faith, because it's all about faith. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.